one of the great shifts in parenthood. This has actually been a shift in all personhood, but I'm going to focus for a moment on how it's relevant to parenthood. The last 30, 40 years has been this idea that children are reasonable. That children can be logicked with and talked to and explained, and they understand. Now, I'm not saying they don't, and I'm not saying that some kids are more reasonable than others, but what I am saying is that there has been a shift brought on, spearheaded, inundated by the experts, that if you're a good mom or dad, you're going to know how to talk to your children. So the question becomes, Dr. Ray, should we explain to our children what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how many times should we explain? And how many times do we need to re-remind them of the rules, to explain the rules? If you listen to the bulk of media experts, you're probably going to think, you're not doing enough explaining. You read about any parenting article in any parenting magazine and pick up the vast bulk of these parenting books. How to talk so children will listen, and how to listen so children will talk. That's a book, you know. And the whole book is geared, in my opinion, towards this whole idea that if you just say it right, if you just reason in the right way, use the right logic, use the right emotional expression, use more I messages, more active listening, the child will respond. Mother, I've been so blind. Of course. Now I see what you're saying. How have you put up for me, with me, for as long as you have? You're the parent. I'm the child. It's all so clear to me now. Let's hold hands, sing kumbaya around the campfire. I am a firm believer that most of you have explained mostly enough. By the time a kid gets to be 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, much of the day-to-day stuff of parenthood, the rules, the limits, the expectations, you've had several years to go over. I don't know how many times you got explained you're not supposed to punch your brother in the head. What is it, 100 times? 200 times. Calling names, being snotty to someone. Do you think by the time they're 14, they would kind of sense, having lived in your home, this isn't a way you want them to interact with people? When they're 14, do we have to keep saying, you know, young lady, I will not tolerate that tone of voice? Now, wait a minute. It's been 14 years. Do you still got to tell her you won't tolerate that tone of voice? Don't you think she's gotten it by now? And the fact that she's not doing it doesn't mean she doesn't understand it. It means she doesn't agree. It means her emotions get the better of her in certain circumstances, and she doesn't care. Should you explain yourself? Yeah. Briefly. How many times? I don't know. Handful? Do you have to explain every day the rules? Let me give you a classic example of this. Classic example. There is a program in the schools called assertive discipline. Assertive discipline came out a couple decades or so ago by a guy named Lee Cantor. Now, Cantor touts his program as no nonsense, back to basics, no psychobabble. We're going to have, you know, the big person be in charge. There'll be clear-cut expectations. All right. Let's take a look at this no nonsense, clear-cut expectations discipline program. Here's the essence of how it works. In the classroom, the teacher is supposed to write down the rules. Now, in a bow to child development theorists everywhere, The rules are not supposed to be put in the negative. You are not to say no hitting. You are not to say don't get up out of seat. Those are negative rules. I wish God would go back and rewrite the Ten Commandments. You know, some of those rules are very negative. I think he has no sense of our self-image. No wonder we're rebellious. He doesn't respect who we are. He shouldn't have said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He should have said, be faithful to your spouse. That's what he should have said. He should have framed it positive. So, this very no-nonsense back to basics essentially says, frame rules positively. Instead of saying no running, say walk please. Instead of no pushing, shoving, biting, kicking, jumping off the ropes, soap in the eyes, razor blades in the gloves, say keep hands and feet to self. Frame it positively. And that's another problem I have with the speed limits. You know, it's kind of a negative sort of thing, don't you think? No parking. You shouldn't say no parking. They should say, please park in appropriate places. The implication being that's not an appropriate place. Speed limit 55, they shouldn't say that. That kind of implies a negative, doesn't it? I think they should say, drive carefully on the interstates, right? And then when you're in the city, drive real carefully. You know, and then in the school zone, drive extremely carefully. Don't put speed limits. That's negative. So anyway, I digress. After you framed your rules positively, you explain the rules to the children. And then, if a child breaks a rule, they go to the board and they put their name on the board. Now, Dan, you got, what, five kids? Five kids or four? Your kids go to school, right? Have they had this name on the board type thing? No? All right. Well, good for your school. My kids' school had it when they went. All right. You put your name on the board. There's no consequence. The consequence is your name on the board. Then, if you break one of the rules again, and I always wanted to say to this guy, wait a minute, how can they break a rule? It's not a rule. You're not saying it in the negative. You're saying it in the positive. Keep hands and feet to self. All right. But they break a positive rule. The second time that day, they go up and they put a check mark next to their name. Now, the check mark means you get a consequence. Usually a very benign, you know, 5 minutes in timeout. 5 minutes off a recess. 5 minutes with your head down. Some benign little thing. Now, let's look at this a second here. We don't have too many teachers listening during the day because they're in their classrooms. We have a lot of mom teachers listening during the day. You homeschooling moms want to do this, go ahead. Put your rules up there. Now, the average classroom has between 20 and 30 kids. Let's just take a number at random. 22. 22 kids. Now, when I do workshops for teachers, I use this example. I will say, 22 children in your class, how many school days per year? 180. So quick, what's 22 times 180? That's 3,600, 2 times 1. It's almost 4,000. Close to 4,000. It's 40 shy of 4,000. That means that you're very strict, no nonsense, back to basics, big person in charge, discipline system has wired into it the possibility if every kid every day realized he could misbehave one time and do nothing but get a warning, 4,000 pieces of misbehavior could occur over a school year with no consequences. Now, fortunately, most kids don't realize this. My son realized it. He came home from kindergarten. No, it's first grade. I'm sorry. And he said, Dad, guess what? If you do something wrong, you have to put your name on the board. That's it. So you could do something wrong every day. I go, Andrew, you can't. No, Dad. That's the system. That's how it works. Andrew, I'm giving you a week. If I find out your name was on the board after that, you're getting disciplined from Dad. No, you could. Everybody in class could do it. Well, fortunately, everybody in class didn't figure it out. So this very strict, no-nonsense discipline gives them an explanation every day. If you're not allowed to jump up out of your seat every day, you can jump up out of your seat and, in essence, get an explanation. Don't jump up out of your seat. You put your name on the board. Ooh. true, that's a consequence. I'd like to go before a judge someday. Your Honor, it's the first car I've stolen. I should get one warning. Why don't I just put my name up there behind you? Should you explain? No, not for most stuff, because you've already given dozens, perhaps hundreds of explanations. The time for explanation is over. The time for action is here. Do you explain on new stuff? Yeah, you can explain on new stuff. Of course you can. And you can explain if they have questions. And you can explain as they get older for newer things and newer ideas. Of course, of course, of course. But the average parent over explains. Am I making myself clear on this, you guys? How long do I have to explain this to you? Now, I've been going on here for close to 12 minutes. Do you understand?